Conform to be transformed. Conform to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may put to test, put under a microscope, prove and substantiate what is the perfect will of God." Conform. Do not be conformed. My wife and Meg's, every Christmas they make these sugar cookies, and she has cutters. And she takes a cutter, whether it be a Christmas tree, a star, or an angel, and that cutter conforms that dough to be the tree, the angel, or whatever. That which pressures you or forces you into a shape or form is that which is making you who you are. And so we are not to be allowing the world to conform, pressure, put us into the mold. We're not to look like, walk like, talk like the world does. We're not of the world. To conform means to take your life and to bring it into complete agreeance with, or as it is, to become identical to, or to adapt oneself to a prevailing example, or to a standard, or to a model. We are not to look like what the world looks like. We are to be different, peculiar, not funny, but peculiar. The world should not know us as who we are because we're not like them. We don't think like them. We don't walk like they do. We're not living by the same standards they live with. They are not modeling who we want to be. We have a standard. We have a model, and his name is Jesus Christ. I love going over to see Casey and Tara. I just love teaching them. I love them. I really do. But I have problems with the street. Okay? The street has these speed bumps. I don't like speed bumps. I don't like them. But I have learned over time to slowly get over it. Oh. Now, I've covered the subject of the Holy Spirit pretty rapidly over the last few weeks. I trust some of you have gotten the CDs and are listening to them. My Bible tells me, blessed is the man who meditates upon the law of the Lord, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates. That means he takes it, chews on it, digests it, takes it up, chews on it, digests it, takes it up and chews on it, and digests it. I spent hours studying this subject matter. I have. And I really want you to understand that God anticipates that you're going to grasp, apply, and live what I've been preaching. Because God gave you at your birth all the power that you need to become what he desires you to become. The Holy Spirit was given to you as a gift from God. He empowers us to model, to identify ourselves, and to be transformed into the very nature of God. It says, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renew means to return to something or return something to its original state. The Greek is very clear on that. God said, let us make man in our image, and in the image of God we were created. Man was. Sin came and we fell. What sin means to miss the mark. Comes out of the background of like shooting an arrow and you have a mark. And every time you miss the mark, you sin. You're missing it. The perfect mark is Jesus Christ. It's the very nature and the image of God himself profound. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen God. And every time you live your life and it is a direct opposition to being like Jesus, you miss the mark. You miss the mark. And so to renew something is to take that which has needed and has fallen and has deteriorated and restore it back to its original state. So for God to be at work in you, he is transforming you, changing you, transforming you back into being like he, God-like, Christ-like. The very image of God is now back in you through the person of the Holy Spirit, and God is transforming, changing you into the very image that man originally had before the fall. Remember, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Remember that? They of the world cannot appraise the things that are spiritual. What does that mean? The word appraise. How many of you had your house appraised? You had your house appraised. What does appraisal do? Puts a value on it, right? How much of it's worth? The spiritual man is not appraised, nor does he need to be appraised, because we know what is valuable. The most valuable commodity in my life is my relationship with God. That's what makes life valuable. That's what puts value on life. Most people have no value in their life. They don't even know why they live. They don't even know why they move. I know why I'm alive. I know why I live. I get up every day to praise God and to thank Him for another day and rejoice in it. Nobody has to tell me the value of my life and the value of things and spiritual things, my marriage, my children, and whatever. While the natural mind, the man of the world, the person who is not in Christ, has not the Holy Spirit, they cannot appraise anything. Nothing is valuable to them. Nothing. They can't appraise it for what it's worth, what its value is. Isn't that what he said? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So, in Ephesians, when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and if you notice, I've been going through the whole book of Ephesus in this series. This is what he said. In verse 20, you have not learned Christ this way. He's referring to those who are still living after the world, fulfilling the desires and the lusts of the flesh. He says, you didn't learn Christ this way. How did you learn Him? Have you learned Him? Do you know Him? Have you any aspect of who He was, what He's like, and what His nature is, and what bearer and what His basic image is as an individual? You know that you become like the most five closest people to your life. You conform your life to the five people you walk with, talk to, live with every day of your life. That's proven psychologically. So if you're running with the crowd, living in the world, running with people who are not Christ-like, who are not godly, I guarantee you, you're going to conform to their lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 15 says, don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. You run with those who are corrupt, it will corrupt your morals. You become like the people you see the importance then of being with godly people. Fellowshipping with people who have the same desire, the same value you do, who put the same value on life that you do, that are of the same mind that you have, that we are like-minded in that. Is that important or isn't it? You conform to what you have learned, what you're listening to, and what you have been taught. Every one of us. I love these young people that I've conversed with, and they say, nobody tells me what to do. I'm a self-made person. Oh, baloney. Just listen, show me the music you listen to, and I'll show you who's conforming you. Look at the books you read, and I'll tell you who's conforming you. Look at the people you run with, I'll tell you who's conforming you. You know, none of us are self-made people. We have been conformed. We have been pressured, squeezed, and stepped into a mold by the people, the books, and the things that we listen to, the music we listen to. All of that is shaping our minds. You get it? Transformed by the renewing of what? The mind. So what's your mind thinks? It thinks what it reads. It thinks what it sees. It thinks what it hears. It thinks and processes only what it's learning. I didn't learn Christ that way. I did not learn Christ to be like the world. I didn't learn Christ that I would be shaped and molded by the world. I learned Christ that God's desire is for me to be like Him again. Man, I want to be like God. I want to be like my Father. I don't want to conform to this world. I don't like what the world has. I don't like the value they place on things. I don't like the value it places on babies when they're aborting them like thousands and thousands a day. I don't like that. There's no value there. No value for life. I don't like the concept that sooner or later, you know, when you and I become useless and we're no good to humanity, we'll just give them a pill and they're gone. That way it doesn't cost us anything. What does that mean? That means there's no value on life, people. We've lost the value of life. The natural mind cannot appraise the things that are of God. And your life was so valuable that God let his son come down here and die for you. That's the value he placed on you. That's the value that changed my life. Okay? And so if you want to return to the original state that God originally created Adam in until Adam sinned and fell, God has a program to do that. And it's the work of his word and the Holy Spirit in you, transforming you, changing you back into the original image in which man was originally created. So in verse 23 of Hebrews, Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed means to be changed back to the original state in which the mind was originally created until sin came. Got it? You have it? You understand that? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. That's the most powerful psychological verse that there is. You want to change your thinking? You got to change what you're reading. We are what we think. Where does that thinking process come from? It comes from God. There is the light of the world, which is permeated. David said, this book is a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. David is the one member who said, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I wouldn't sin against you. The word is that implanted word, that engrafted word. It is the seed of the kingdom that brings about. And remember, every seed produces after its own kind. This book does not produce Lutherans, Methodists. It produces Christ-like people. It produces Christians, Christ ones. That's all it produces. If it produces and other things that produce, that's of man, not of God. Are you listening? All this book does is create people back into the original image of Christ in that we become Christ-like, Christian in nature, Christian in our thinking, thinking in our process and every aspect of it. I read a lot of books. Readers are leaders. I believe that with all my heart. I believe if you're a reader, you'll learn and become a leader. I really do. You want to change your thinking, then you have to process it. What's the difference between the 95%ers who lean on a water cooler and the 5%ers that hold the wealth of America? Now, you can stand there and you can say what you want to. You can judge them what you want to. But I'll tell you what, they think differently than the 95%ers. Completely different. They don't think like the 95%ers. 95%ers are the ones who lean on the water cooler all through work day doing nothing and condemn the 5%ers who are out there burning their lives out, getting where they are. The Chinese people come to America. They don't come here to get a job. They come here to sacrifice to become self-employed, franchising, free people. That's why they come here. They don't think like you do. They don't think like we do. When you went to college and high school, you were taught to get a job. Nobody taught you how to practice free enterprise. Nobody's taught you how that you could be free, have your own business, support it, substantiate it, go. No, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? A doctor, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. You know what I'm going to be? I want to be free. I want to be free. This is the law of liberty. This sets people free. This book doesn't think like your friends that you may run with. This book doesn't teach the things that the world teaches. This book is completely in opposition to it. So what are you reading? What are you processing? Whatever. Remember, we have the mind of Christ. What do we have? The mind of Christ. This is God's mind, isn't it? If you read this book, you're not going to think like the world thinks. If you process what it says, you're going to be a different person. There's no ifs and ands about it. You will become what you think in your heart. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. But also it says in Proverbs again, or Philippians 2 and 5, it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What? Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what has to happen? How am I going to have the mind of Christ? How am I going to receive the mind of Christ? God somehow is going to magically somehow just fuse it into my mind? Or do I have to study to show myself approved unto God? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling and dividing the word of truth. You see, you become what you think. And the more you're in the scriptures and the more you're allowing the Holy Spirit to inscribe upon your mind the word of God, then isn't it amazing that you begin to become like what you're reading? This is the mind. We have the mind of Christ. It's right here. Remember that. Don't forget it. Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new self who is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Remember, it says we have the new self. The Greek word new is neos. In other words, it is something that now exists that did not exist in the past. Do you understand that when you were immersed into Christ, the old man, the body of sin, you were crucified with Christ on the cross, you were put to death, and when you come up out of the water, you came up a new creature in Christ. What came up is not, that person was done away with. It was washed away. It was crucified. It was done away with. The old man has passed away. Oh, behold, you have become neos. You now are something that did. You were to have buried yourself, considered yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm alive. You were dead in your sins, but God quickened you through the Holy Spirit, raised you from the dead, and gave you a new life in Christ. You are a new person. Neos. Neos. You see, there has to be a timeline. When you know the old man was done away with, the new began. I can tell you my timeline. I know when God put me to death. I don't live any longer. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. Is that what Paul said? Now think about it. And so you put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. You know what Jesus said about this book? Jesus said this book is spirit and it is truth. So what am I doing? I'm reading a spiritual mind. This is spiritual, isn't it? Is this not the spiritual mind of God? But isn't it also truth? This is the absolute truth. This is the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And the truth is what makes you free. And Jesus said you'll know the truth, and if you know the truth, you'll be free, and you'll be free indeed. Every lie that you process is nothing more than enslaving you. And we're being lied to all through the world because Satan is the father of all lies. He's the father of them all. So if we have a president who lies, a Congress that lies, a House of Representatives that lies, a teacher that lies, parents that lie, children who lie, who is their father? You have your father, the devil. Isn't that what he said? And every liar will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. You know that? Yeah, it does. It says it. I want to know the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. This doesn't contain the truth. This is the truth. Jesus also said, this book, he said, my words are life and spirit. So the more I take this book and I allow the Holy Spirit to transform and to transfer its mind, I have the mind of Christ, and I start thinking it, processing it, changing my mind. I am active. I have to be involved in this. I got to be in the book. I got to be looking. I got to be intently involving myself in the message. And when God speaks, the thoughts, the concepts of it comes to my mind, the Holy Spirit begins to write. And he inscribes it into the tables of my heart, and I become changed and transformed over a period of time. I'm maturing, growing, developing, and I'm becoming more spiritual-minded all the time. Because I have the mind of Christ. We have it. It's there. It's available to us. We have access to it. It's right here. It's right here. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will not. This book will be here at the judgment day. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation that there are two books that's going to be open. One is the book of life where your name better be written. And the other is this one right here. And you and I are going to be judged by what's written in this book. You think you better know it? You think you better know what it says? You better make sure that you're measuring up and substantiating and bringing your will into harmony with the will of God. What's wrong with being like Jesus? What's wrong if every person in this whole world had been changed and transformed into the very nature and the very likeness of the Son of God? What would be wrong with that? Wouldn't it be a beautiful world? Wouldn't it? If all sin was just taken out of the hearts of all men and Christ was placed there and we were all becoming Christ-like and treating one another like Jesus treated us, what would it be like? What would it be like? There's nothing wrong with that. That is the whole aspect of our being as far as our personal lives are concerned. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, we have put on the new self. How'd you get up this morning? You got dressed this morning? I hope so. Yeah, you got dressed. You put on your clothes, right? Didn't you? Are you listening to me? Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What? You put it on. It's a continuous tense. It's not just one time. We are continuously putting on and becoming like Him. Get it? I'm more like Jesus today than I was back when I became a Christian. I sure hope you are. And I know you are, okay? So if I could do anything for you today, I just want to turn a little light on. All right? Just a little. Because I'm not going to get through this whole thing this morning. But I want you to get a point before we leave, and I'll finish it next Lord's Day. Listen to these words. We are to the true knowledge. We have the true knowledge. We have the true knowledge. According to the image of the one who created him. So if I'm reading the Word of God, this is the knowledge. All right? This knowledge is the mind of Christ. This then reveals to me his image, his likeness, who he is. I have it here. I have the mind of Christ. But I got to learn it, acknowledge it, accept it, and that knowledge is available. And that's bright. And so as you add the true knowledge, oh, wait a minute, he is the light of the world. And we are the light of the world. You don't hide your light under a bushel. Okay? The point is, so if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. I'm going to close with this morning, but I want you to hear this. You got to hear this. 2 Peter, okay, chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Come on, open your Bibles. I want to hear pages rattling. All right, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2 and following. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing with a spiritual mind, appraising all things. We don't need to be appraised because we put the value on knowing God. That's the value, is to know God. Remember last week's sermon? I hope you do. That His Spirit is fellowshipping with our spirit, whereby we cry unto Him, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, knowledge, having that intimacy with Him, saying that, verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to what? Life and what? Say it loud. Godliness. God then has empowered us to have an abundant life, to love life, to live, have life to its fullness. To be living life to completeness. But He has also empowered us that we could become godly. We need to get that back in our terminology. We need fathers who are godly men. We need mothers who are godly women. We are to be godly people. We are to be like God. We are to be transformed into the very image of the one that came to show us the Father. We're to become like Him in every aspect of our being. And God has empowered us. Divine power. He's granted it that we could pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the true. Oh, you mean there's false knowledge? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and His excellence. Let me tell you something. There is a power in the world that is adverse to God. And He does not want you to see God in all of His glory. He will malign God. He will talk God down. He will destroy the very nature of God. He will blame everything on God. You know, if Calvinists did anything for us, they have transferred the blame to God rather than to the Satan. My Bible tells me that every good and perfect gift comes down from my Heavenly Father in heaven. And there's no shadow, there's no variation, there's no changing of Him. And if God is everything is good and God is good, how does He do evil? Let no man say when he is tried of God, because God cannot tempt anyone. God cannot be tried with evil. Therefore, He can do nothing wrong. He can't. It's not in His nature. But Satan can. Satan's a murderer. Satan causes divorce. Satan causes people to get addicted and caught up in drugs and everything else. There is something you need to understand. God has an adversary, and so do you, who is adverse to man coming to a knowledge of God. Because if you see God in all of His glory, you will love Him. You'll love Him like He loves you. But until you do that, until you come to the true knowledge of God in through the Jesus Christ and see Him in all of His glory and all of His radiance and all of His excellency and all that aspect of Him, you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to be transformed to become like Him. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. After thy will, while I am yielding, waiting, and still. You see, to be conformed means that you have to want to be conformed. You have to desire it. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and say, Father, God, the Creator, You made us, You know us, I've been born again, I'm a new creature in Christ, I'm now in Him, I have Your power in me through the Holy Spirit. God, have Your own way in me, mold me, make me, transform me, change me, make me like You, Father, make me like You. You got to want that. You got to desire that. You got to put yourself in a point of humbleness before God and realize that without His power working in you, you can never become like Him. You understand that? So stop being conformed to the world. Stop allowing your mind to be processing the things that the world processes and how they think. Because that thinking is taking people direct in opposition to God and to an eternal loss. You start processing the mind of God as it's revealed here because we have the mind of Christ, and you start bringing your mind into harmony with this mind, it will bring your will into harmony with His will, and you will be amazed at what God will do inside of you, in the inner man, in changing your life. Something beautiful? Remember the Greek word metamorphosis? Transform. Comes from that Greek word, metamorphosis, change. Last fall, there was this little caterpillar, ugly little worm, that wove itself into a cocoon. And over the winter months, in the process, that ugly little worm was transformed and changed in that process. And until this spring, that cocoon broke open. And out of that cocoon, there came this beautiful monarch butterfly. That's the word transform. When you came to God, you came to Him with nothing but your sins. So the first thing God did is He forgave you. Right? Washed you. Sanctified the inner temple. We are the temple of God. He then, through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came and He took up His dwelling inside of you. And in that process, He is now giving you a spirit of power to be transformed, to be changed over a process of time. God says, and the Word of God says, that we are being renewed day by day back into the image of the One who created us. I love it. I've told people over and over again, my joy isn't just bringing people to Christ. My joy in my personal life is seeing people grow up in Christ and seeing them change. I've seen Julius Moore change. Remember Julius? Remember that man? Huh? I remember him. I remember the words that came out of his mouth. I remember his attitude. I remember how he thought. I remember how rough he was on the collars and on the edges and all that type of stuff. And I saw God changing. What have you seen? Huh? I saw my dad, my stepfather. I know what he was like. I know his alcoholism and I know his abuse. My mom was abused. I saw it on my own self personally. I saw how he treated my brothers and sisters. And then he became a Christian. I immersed him into Christ. And I'm telling you, I saw the transformation. I saw the change. And I saw the man he became. And how godly he became in his nature and loving. I saw him loving my mom through Christ. You can't tell me that God does not change people's lives. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what your battle is. But I know that Jesus came in the world to set you free from it, to give you liberty, that you could again serve Him in righteousness and become like Him. That's why He came. We'll look at it more deeply next week and how we actually do become like Him in all of His glory.